And Ray is away this weekend. He is up actually at Colby College as his oldest child. Jonathan is graduating from Colby, so he is at their graduation ceremonies today, and asked if I would be able to preach today. And so I'm excited to be here with you. If you don't even recognize me, well, I hang out in the basement a lot downstairs, usually on Sunday evenings. We have a little thing called Genesis, which is a ministry of Hope Christian Church. And we've been, this ministry has been going at it for a while, but specifically as a worship service, probably for the last 6 months. And we've got a great great community of 20s and 30s that gather every single Sunday night and then throughout the week. We have anywhere from 80, 85 people typically coming on a Sunday night, meeting downstairs in the basement. And one of these days, we might actually come up here, but we're going to wait until we get a little bit, some more people, a little bit more packed before we come up here. So my name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's good to be up with you today. So faith and work. This is a conversation that I wanted to have with you today. What does it look like to have faith in the workplace? What does it look like to live out faith in the workplace? Question, how many people in here, show of hands, how many people in here work? Okay, hands down. Okay, next, I'm going to ask that question again, and let me clarify. It's a bit of a trick question. All of us work. If you're human, you work. Okay, so whether you have a job that actually gives you a paycheck or all of us work. So, how many people in here work? Okay, everybody. Yes, it doesn't matter whether you're a middle school student or you are retired. It doesn't matter if you actually, as I said, get a paycheck or you just, you know, are working and wondering when that paycheck is actually going to come. All of us work. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said this, "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." All of us are workers. And what Jesus said is, let your light shine. Let your faith be known. Let your faith be visible and work. The actual word there, deeds, ergon in Greek, means our actions or our work. And Jesus said that people should see our faith and that they should see our good work. And then they would praise us. No. They would see our faith and they would see how we work, our good work. And they would give praise to God. So if you look at, if you want to make an equation out of this, faith plus works equals people seeing God, people worshiping God. Let your light shine before men. They would see your good deeds, your good work, and they would praise God. That's the challenge of where we're headed this morning. Do people see God in your work? When you're working, do they see God or do they just see a reflection of you? Remember, we are all workers. Moms, dads, in relationships, we are all workers. None of us are without excuse. If you're human, you work. So do people see God when you work? So this is what I want to talk about this morning is having faith that is visible in the workplace so that when people see us, they see a reflection of the one we love, a reflection of our Creator. I guess before I can really talk about faith in the workplace and how that is played out, it seems to me to be obvious to ask the question, do you have faith? And if yes, what is your faith in? Now, again, if you're human, which all of us in here are, everyone is a believer. Everyone has faith. There's this false dichotomy that says, well, there's those who have faith in God and those who don't have faith in God. So there are believers and there are non-believers. Let me just tell you, we are all believers. We all have faith. It's just a question of who or what we put our faith in. So this morning, what is your faith in? Because my fear is, if your faith is not in God, your faith will be in work. All of us hunger for significance, meaning, purpose, value. When I came into relationship with Jesus Christ years ago, I didn't ever have to ask that question, what is the meaning of my life? I never, ever had to ask the question, what is purpose? What is significant? Where do I get my value? Because all of those questions are answered in my faith in Jesus Christ. That Jesus has made possible for us to be in relationship with Him. So my faith is in Jesus Christ. So before we talk about faith in the workplace, you have to ask the question, who or what is your faith in? Because if it's not in Jesus Christ, as I said, I fear your faith will be in other things, specifically our work. Meaning, we will be people searching for meaning and purpose and significance in our workplace. And please make mental note, if that's where you are going to be sorely disappointed. If you are looking for those things, meaning and significance and value and worth, which we are all looking for, if you're looking for those in the workplace, you're going to be disappointed. But I can tell you, since I've been walking with God in relationship with Jesus Christ, I have not been disappointed. I know what my purpose is. I know what my meaning in life is. And it's to walk with Him. It's to know Him and to make Him known. To worship Him, to glorify Him. To do that very verse, that invitation that Jesus says, man, let your light shine. So people would see a good work, good deeds, action, and they would see God. Now, as I asked Ray earlier in this week, what did he want me to preach about? He said, preach about faith in the workplace. And in all honesty, my first reaction was, well, everyone's going to be looking at me saying, who are you to tell us how to have faith in the workplace? It would be like a priest giving marriage counseling to people, you know, who are getting married who's never even been married. That was my first thought. Not that a priest cannot offer marriage counseling, but it seems odd that someone counsels people and they've never even been married once in their life. So if you're all looking at me like, who are you to give advice, to give counsel on how to have faith in the workplace? I mean, really? How easy is it for me to have faith in the workplace? I mean, I get a paycheck to have faith in the workplace. I can actually be sitting at my desk and my boss or bosses would walk in and see me reading my Bible and they'd be like, well done. Or they'd see me praying and they'd be like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you. I mean, how many people have a job like that out there where if you're in the middle of doing something at your work, and by the way, it's not just in the office, where that would be celebrated? Well, not as a way to defend, but just so you know, it takes a lot of faith to be in this workplace as well. And secondly, I didn't always work at a church. So, quick background. I wanted to share very briefly some work experiences, and I want to, as I share my experiences, I want to see if they line up with what your current experience is in the workplace. Okay? It's not my first job. I've had many jobs. Four I picked out very specifically. Early 20s, I was an aquatics operations director. Now, we all have job titles, or we like to have job titles, but we always glorify our job titles, don't we? So does anyone want to take a guess at what an aquatics operations director is? No, it's a glorified lifeguard. Let's make that clear. I was a aquatics operations director, and at the time in my early 20s, and being director meant I oversaw all the other lifeguards in the pool and coached the swim team and all that kind of stuff. I was a Christian at this job. But I wanted to be a spiritual person, but I didn't want to be known as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because if I was known as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, I would probably have had to do things a lot differently. been a lot more careful what I said, how I acted, how I reacted. I would have had to keep my work ethic, so to speak, in check. I wouldn't have been so concerned about making money and all this kind of stuff. And so I was cool to be known as a spiritual guy, but I didn't want to be known as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ in that workplace, ultimately because I didn't want to be held accountable. And I wonder if that might be, you might not be an aquatics operation director, but does this describe your current work experience? You're cool to be known as a spiritual person, but you don't want to be set apart as a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, because you might actually have to start changing some patterns of behavior in the workplace. And that's just too difficult, and you don't want to be held to that standard. You don't want to be held accountable. See if you can figure out this job. I was a systems plant protection officer. I was a security guard. Through my seminary years, Kyle and I, we needed some cash. And one of the jobs that a lot of guys in seminary did was system plant protection officers, a.k.a. security guards. Now, I've got to be honest and say, I slept through this entire work experience. Literally, physically slept through this. My shift was 11:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. My next class on the mornings started at 9 o'clock, and I was in class until 4. I had set up in my Suburban a queen-size air mattress so that in between classes, I was just going outside to sleep in my car. But for 5 months, I was a security guard. And for 5 months, I literally slept through my job. Why? Because it was just a paycheck. We needed cash, and so that seemed to make sense. I could just work a few hours, get paid to sleep a few hours, and it was just a paycheck. I wonder how many of our work experiences right now are just nothing more than paychecks. We don't really care about the work that we're doing. It's just a paycheck. And you are literally, whether it might be physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, sleeping through what God might want to do in your work situation. Because your attitude, your heart just says, it's just a paycheck. I don't really care about what I'm doing. Well, can I just say, if that's where you're at, don't settle for that. Know that God might want to do something extraordinary with you and through you in your work environment. And let's be honest, if you're just using your job just to pick up cash and as a paycheck, you're nothing more than a user. You're using someone else to get something you need. And I tell you what, I don't believe God is satisfied with that or pleased with that. So please, if that's your current situation, pray that God would give you a passion for what He's called you to do, what He's allowing you to do, and that you would be passionate about the people that are around you. Job 3. I was a petroleum distribution engineer. I was pumping gas. Actually, this is the job that I held before I came here to be a pastor at this church. It was really funny. I had been driving. This gas station was right next to the school, the seminary I went to, and there was this big sign that said, "Help Wanted." And I kept driving by, and in all honesty, I needed work because I was sleeping through my other job, and that really wasn't working out too well. And I needed another job, and every time I drive by that place, I'm like, gosh, I don't want to work at a gas station. And so I was performing a graveside service for a family friend, and so I'm decked out in a full suit, which rarely I will ever wear, but wearing a full suit. And on my way home from performing this graveside service, God, I was about to drive by, He's like, stop in and ask them for a job. And I'm looking at myself in this, you know, full suit, tie, decked out, and so I'm like, all right, this is a bit ridiculous. Stop in, and the guy who is the owner of this gas station, the Citgo gas station, I walk in, and he's like, can I help you? And I said, well, I saw a sign that said help wanted. And he looks at me and says, you realize this is for a gas station job, right? And I was like, well, I like to take my interviews very seriously. And but I got to tell you, I'll share more about that later, but that was probably one of my most phenomenal work experiences in terms of ministry. Because when I decided to take that job, I made the decision, I'm going to be the best petroleum distribution engineer this world has ever seen. I will pump gas and serve people like none other before me. And I will make the most of every opportunity to invest relationally in people. And every once in a while, I would look at myself in the mirror, and I would look at my outfit. A big old cheesy blue shirt that said Citgo. And I wonder how many of us kind of look at the job title that we have or don't have, and we're afraid to speak into people's lives because who's really listening, right? It's just a gas station attendant, right? I mean, that's not like on everyone's highest priority of jobs most sought after. And I wonder how many of us are looking at the position that we have and are saying, certainly God can't use me. So why even bother? Why try? We look at the outfit we're wearing, so to speak, and we let that hold us back from all that God wants us to do. I have to tell you, God is, He wants to use us to reach people in our work, and we are all workers. If you're afraid to be a voice, to speak into people's lives because you're low man, woman on the totem pole, please, God is bigger than the totem pole. Much bigger. Fourth job. I couldn't think of a creative title for this. So I was a dad. That's worth an applause or something, right? Now, when I say I was a dad, I still currently hold the title of dad. But Kyla was graciously working through my 4 years of seminary to help pay for life. And while I was in school, and I was doing odd jobs to kind of help out, but we had our first child, Tristan, and I still had about a year plus of school to go through. And the way that the situation worked out was there was no way that Kyla could take off work. She desired to be at home, but our life circumstance situation just did not permit for it. And so I was given the responsibility to watch our firstborn. Now, I had dog sat before. I had sat for people's homes, inanimate object. I just had to sit and watch the home and make sure nothing happened to it. But I had never actually sat for or cared for another human being. Now, my wife knew that I had never even babysat before. And after 3 months of maternity leave, I remember the day. It was a Monday morning. And I did not sleep the night before. I was freaking out. I had no clue what I was doing because of 3 months of maternity, I was going overboard with work as well as school, knowing that I wouldn't be able to get as much stuff done when I was at home. And so I had missed a lot of the whole changing diapers and feeding bottles and all that kind of stuff. And I just remember Kyla was holding Tristan, and she was just in tears. She was really sad. She didn't want to go to work. She wanted to stay at home with Tristan. And she was like 7:30. She knew she had to go to work. And so she places Tristan's in my arms, wipes her tears, and then looks at me with this face. You keep him alive until I get home. That was her last words to me before she went to work. My only instructions were to keep this, our firstborn child, alive for the next 9 hours. And I have to tell you, it was the most challenging year of my life. So I have an incredible heart for moms or dads who stay at home and care for kids. I mean, it's an insane job. I can't even explain it, but it was just the most challenging year of my life. But what amazes me about that story, that situation, was my wife. Because rather than being all bitter and bent out of shape about where she was and where she wanted to be, she used that opportunity, her work opportunity, to be used by God. She could have wasted an entire year of work being all jaded and bent out of shape about where she was. But she made the decision to say, you know what, I'd much prefer to be at home with Tristan because I'm very nervous of what Michael's going to do. And she said, God, use me. And God used her to start Bible studies and prayer gatherings to lead people to the Lord. And I wonder, in that story situation, how many of us are just so bent out of shape and bitter about where we are or where we aren't that we are absolutely refusing to let God use us in that situation? Can I just, if that's your story and where you're at, kind of just bent out of shape about where God has you, please don't let that prevent you from allowing God to do just incredible, phenomenal things through you. Four different work situations that I had. I had a lot more than that, but those are the four I'll share. And maybe one of those describes your current work situation. And my hope for us today, just in our remaining moments, is that we would learn how to live out faith in our work environment. We are all workers, students, people who, moms, dads who stay at home, if you're in the office, if you're just serving, volunteering, we are all workers. My hope today is that we would have a better understanding of what it looks like to have faith, to live out faith in the workplace, so that people would see us in the workplace and they would catch a glimpse, a reflection of God. I told you maybe 20 minutes ago to go to Colossians, so we're finally there. Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 2. Let me read the whole passage. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. And pray for us too, that God might open the door for our message, so that we might proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If I didn't put notes for you on your piece of paper, but if you're interested in an outline, I'm going to spend a few moments in verse 2, then looking at verse 3 and 4, and then looking at verse 5 and 6. Paul very specifically gives three specific challenges or exhortations that go hand in hand in verse 2. Let's take a look at just verse 2. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful, and being thankful. The three things. Devoted to prayer, watch to see God, and have an attitude of gratitude. Now, it says be devoted or devote yourselves to prayer. Now, I just know from personal experience how quickly it is to bail on prayer. Now, I'd like to say, like, I could pray for something for years and years and years, but sometimes I might pray for something for a few days and I just don't see anything, and so I bail. Paul says, devote yourself to prayer. It's an amazing invitation in Scripture that God actually wants to hear from us, that God wants to hear from our hearts. And maybe our hearts would stir his heart. Devote ourselves, devote yourself to prayer. Question, when it comes to the workplace, again, all of us are workers. What are you praying for? Like, let's be practical. When it comes to your work situation, whatever it might be, what exactly are you praying for? Or who are you praying for? It's not bad to pray for ourselves in the work situation that God might advance, you know, our careers or help us get through situations or circumstances. But can I just say, if that's all you're praying for, you're praying small. What are you praying for in the workplace? Are you praying that God would just move in situations, circumstances, in people's lives? What are you praying for as it relates to your work? Pray that God would soften hearts. Pray that God would move to respond, that people would respond to Him. That God would create divine appointments that you might be able to step into. Whatever you pray for, can I just encourage you to do this? Pray big. Ask God for big things. And then do this. Watch. A lot of us have a hard time doing the second part of verse 2 where it says, be devoted to prayer and then be watchful. Well, a lot of us have a hard time being watchful because we're not really praying for anything. I have found that people who are just devoted to prayer, they watch. They are always watching to see what God is doing, where God is moving. Why? Because they have been specifically praying that God would do certain things. And so they watch. Paul says, be devoted to prayer and then be excellent at watching to see what God is doing. As you think about an excellent watchman, so to speak, they're listening with their ears and they're watching with their eyes. God, where are you? Are you in this conversation? God, are you in that situation? Are you in this circumstance? God, because I've been praying about these very things. Is this you? Are you moving now? Am I supposed to respond? Am I supposed to act or react? When I think back to my experience as a security guard, I mean, Jesus Christ Himself could have walked by me and I would not have noticed because I was sleeping. I wonder how many of us are just divine moments, divine appointments are passing us by on a day-to-day basis because we're just not watching. And why aren't we watching? Because we're not praying. When you pray, be devoted to prayer. Don't bail on prayer. And pray big and then begin to watch and see what God is doing. And when you see God move, answer, respond, Paul says, be thankful. Be thankful. Now, this is the hard thing. Sometimes we don't always see what God's doing. So I guess the solution is we should walk around and be a bunch of bitter, angry people. And in all honesty, some of us in our workplace, that's what we look like. In the workplace, Paul says, be devoted to prayer, be watchful, and then be thankful. If you were to ask co-workers, people who are around you, whether it's in the home, different relationships, if you were to ask them, hey, give me a top 10 list of things of how you would describe me, character traits, would thankfulness be on that top 10? Like they would describe you as, you know what, this man, this woman, this guy, this girl, they're just so thankful all the time. Drives me nuts with how thankful they are. When we are devoted to prayer, when we are people on the watch, we can also be people who have an attitude of gratitude. I love being around thankful people. I really do. Because it makes me ask them, what are you so happy about? What are you so thankful about? And what the beauty of that is, when people come and start asking you questions like, why are you so thankful? You know what you can say? Well, because I was praying for you. I was praying that you, your presentation that you made today, that you would knock it out of the park. And when I watched you knock it out of the park, I was so excited for you. People will ask you, why are you so thankful? And when they do ask you, why are you so thankful? Please let the response be, because I've been praying for you. I've been praying that the God of the universe would move in your life. And look, He's moving. Paul goes on in verse 3 and verse 4. And it's when I was reading this passage, I was like, huh, well, if Paul does this, then why can't I? Verse 3 and 4, he says, and pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So if the Apostle Paul was asking the community to be in prayer for him, Might I ask that you be in prayer for me? Might I ask that you be in prayer for Ray? Might I ask that you would be in prayer for our other pastoral staff and support staff? David King, our high school pastor, Seth Perkins, our middle school pastor, Patty Fleming. Might I ask that you would be in prayer for all of our elders? Ian Whitfield, Andy Mills, Paul Fleming, Doug Simpson, Ray Bandai, Dave Champlin should be sitting right there. He always sits. Where's Dave? Don't pray for Dave. No, I'm just kidding. Might I ask that you would be praying for us? And I love what Paul makes clear exactly what you should be praying for. Open door for our message, not just on Sunday mornings. That Monday morning through Saturday evening, we would be out there proclaiming the message, as we should, with absolute clarity. Let me ask you a question. What kind of pastors, elders, do you guys want to have? I want you to get a picture in your mind of what kind of pastors, elders, leaders do you want this church to have? Think about that for a second. If I were to ask, hey, give me some descriptors of what you want your pastors, elders, leaders, what do you want them to look like? What do you see? Pastors who are passionate about Jesus Christ. Pastors and leaders, elders who are students of God's Word, who are hungry to be in God's Word. Pastors, elders, leaders who are servants, who are humble, who are being bold, who are being faithful. I mean, is that the kind of pastors you want to have? Let me just ask then, is that just wishful thinking in your minds, or are you praying that for us? Because can I just say, if you want to have your pastoral staff and your elders be passionate about Jesus Christ, would you pray that into our lives? Don't just wish, gosh, I wish my pastor would be more like this. Or I wish my pastor would be doing X, Y, and Z. Pray for X, Y, and Z. If Paul is bold enough to ask that the community would be in prayer for him, might I be bold enough to ask you to be in prayer for me? And for Ray, for the elders, the other pastoral staff. Pray that we would be the kind of pastors I think you all just kind of imagined, that you just pictured. One very specific prayer request that I would give you is pray that we just don't talk. Sometimes there's just too much talking and not enough living. It's real easy to hide behind the pulpit and tell you to go do these things and then wait for you to come back next Sunday and then go tell you to do some more things. Pray that what we are encouraging and exhorting you to do from God's Word, that we would be doing the exact same thing, only in increasing measure. Pray that your pastors and your elders would not be tourist guides, passing out maps to places we've never even visited ourselves. Pray for us that we would be out there on the journey, preaching and proclaiming the gospel, not just here on Sunday mornings. That we'd be developing relationships with people in the community. And I love how Paul says, and pray that I'd make it clear. A lot of talk, a lot of blah, blah, blah sometimes. Pray that we would make it clear. Paul goes on in verse 5 and 6. Some very highly practical wisdom in these last two verses. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way you live. Paul puts it pretty bluntly, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Don't live foolishly. Don't be dumb in the way you live. I was thinking of some other words to share there, but I think you get the point. We are people who claim to know God. There are people outside who don't know God. And they are looking at us and the way we live, and they're thinking, wait a minute, I thought you were a person who claimed to know God. And Paul says, if you're going to claim to know God, if you're going to walk with God and be in relationship with God, watch the way that you live. So easy to be sloppy or lazy or just cutting corners or have questionable integrity in our workplace. Why? Why is it so easy to do that? Because often our attitude when it comes to work is, it just doesn't really matter that much. It's just work. Can I just say it does matter? And as Jesus invited us, man, I hope when people see us at work, they are catching a glimpse, a reflection of God. Not some blurry vision or picture of a religious person. God protect us from just being a bunch of religious people. And when people see the way we live, act, treat others, they would see an image, a picture, a reflection of God. I love how Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. It's another way of saying, make the best use of your time. Now, this is not Paul's like speech to go out and buy Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but make the most of your time. Now, I tried to do the math on this, and I know this is not going to work for everyone sitting here in this room, but on average, especially if you're a full-time mom or dad staying at home, this doesn't count for you. On average, you work 50 hours a week. I know some less, and some of you are working 100 hours a week, and moms and dads, you're at like 1,000 hours a week because it's multiplied when you stay at home. That's what it feels like. Because Kyla was supposed to be home at 5:15, and if it was like 5:16 and she wasn't home, wow. I digress. 50 hours a week on average, right? 50 hours a week times, let's say, 50 weeks a year. Average person might get 2 weeks of vacation. Again, not if you're a parent. 50 times 50 is 2,500. 2,500 divided by about 8,700 hours in a year is roughly about 29%. Roughly a third of your life. I want you to think about that. How are you using the 2,500 hours of work allotted to you? When Paul says make the most, the best use of every opportunity, I just think we're too casual and with time. I got tomorrow. I'll do that next week. Or I'll start that next month, next year. 2,500 hours a week. I just want to encourage you, how are you using that 2,500? Is it really to advance your name, build your name, or is it to advance His name? Paul finishes by addressing something pretty powerful. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Our words are huge. They are so powerful. With our words, we can literally kill somebody with our words, destroy someone, or we can use our words to build them up. He says, let people hear in your conversation be full of grace, that our talk might be winsome, that our words would be seasoned with salt, or another way to understand that is marked with purity, that our words, our conversation would have some flavor to it. Picture this. When you're in conversation with someone in your workplace, we're all workers, so the conversations happen. Do people walk away from conversations with you worse off? Like drained, beat up, discouraged? Or do people walk away from conversations with you saying, you know what? I love being around that person. I can't get enough of being around this person. Because he's gracious. She's gracious. They have their talk, it's got some flavor to it. I enjoy, I appreciate what they have to say. When I was at the gas station, I really meant it was one of my my most favorite work experiences. I became in this town for the year and a half that I was there. I was like the local bartender at this gas station. People were not even coming in to get gas. People were coming in so we could talk. My boss, Dave, would walk into work sometimes, and there would be this guy who'd been literally at the counter for an hour and a half and just sharing his story, asking questions. And Dave, he got used to it after a while that people would actually not even come in to buy stuff from the convenience store or pump gas, but we just had built some relationships with each other. Why? Let me just put it as plain language as I can. Because I was nice. And I think this is kind of what Paul is saying. Be nice. Like, be real nice. Don't be like a fake nice. Be authentic. Actually care about people. When I would ask people across the counter for me, how you doing today? I remember one woman actually stopping and looking at me, and she says, you really care about what the answer to that question is. And I said, yeah, of course I do. Why would I ask you if I didn't? How many times we ask people, how you doing, and we're already like over there, and they're still talking. Paul makes it pretty simple. Just be nice. Make the most of every opportunity that you have. Let your words be gracious, seasoned with salt, some flavor, so that when people walk away from you, they're not thinking, gosh, I hope I never have to talk to that person ever again. They're thinking, I can't wait to get around that person because they say things that sometimes just don't make sense, but I know it makes sense to them, and I just want to understand. Faith in the workplace. Just a few verses that I've shared with you this morning of what it looks like to live out faith in the workplace. Be devoted to prayer. Watch and see what God is doing around you. And be thankful. Even when you don't see God completely working in the way that you had been praying, be thankful. And then Paul's two verses of pray for us that we might be bold and passionate lovers of God and lovers of people. And then watch yourselves when you work. Watch your words. Make good use of your time. We don't have that much time. I'm talking in the grand scheme of life. Scripture talks about our life as just a mist. A breath. And I hope that we as a community might use our breath, this mist, to influence some people for the kingdom of God. This morning I want to just close by leading us in some prayer. And three things pretty specifically, and I'll kind of walk us through this as we're praying. But the first thing, it talked about being devoted to prayer. I just want you to think about your work environment, your work situation. It could be in the home. It could be in an office. You could be self-employed. Think about what your work situation is and just pray. Pray for God to do something in your work situation or in a relationship or with an individual. And pray big. Don't pray, I hope they have a good day tomorrow. Pray that God would rock their world and turn their world upside down. And then tomorrow when you go into work, see if their world was turned upside down. And if it wasn't, pray it again, and pray it again, and pray it again. Secondly, I just want to encourage us as a church to be praying for your pastors, your leaders, elders. I'll lead us in a time of that. And then lastly, I want you to pray for yourself. That if you've been living unwise, that God would cover things that went on in the past. And that God will give you the strength to be a brand new person when you go into work, wherever your work is tomorrow. That you would use your words graciously. Seasoned with salt. my initial question asked you about faith. If you're a person here today, when I ask that question of who or what is your faith in, our hope here at Hope Christian Church is that your faith would be in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're a person who's been in relationship with Jesus Christ for a long time, you never get tired of hearing it. I hope you don't. But to those who are not in faith relationship with Jesus Christ, I just want you to know God loves you. God has made it possible to be in relationship with you, to be at peace with God, to be the one who forgives us for our sins, past, present, future. And he saves us from a life of just existing and sets us free to live a life where we're fully alive in him. If you have not made a decision for Jesus Christ this morning, in this time of prayer, make that decision. It's as simple as praying, God, I want to know you. I confess that I've lived my life apart from you. And I thank you that you made it possible for me to be in relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ, through his work on the cross, and through an empty tomb. I place my faith in you, no longer in my work, no longer in this or that or them, but in you. Let's spend some time praying together. Just during a time of just being quiet, if you're a person who's has a hard time answering the question of where my faith is, but you desire to be able to answer that question that your faith is in Jesus Christ, use these moments just to call out, to cry out. God, thank you that you make possible for us to be in relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, if there was anyone in here today who decided to place their faith, their hope, their trust in you, God, I pray that right now, wherever they are sitting, that they would be experiencing your smile upon them and that you would begin to make them the kind of person that you want them to be. I want to ask that you would be praying for someone or a situation in your work environment. Father, I imagine and I hope a lot of prayer requests just went up to you on behalf of others, on behalf of different situations and circumstances in our work environment situations. God, strengthen all of us to be devoted to continue to be in prayer for these things. And then God, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, to be watching. And give us hearts that would be grateful that you are a God who moves, who is acting on our behalf. Would you take a few moments now to pray for your pastors, your elders, leaders here? If you remembered some of the names, pick one of those names and pray that God would infuse our hearts with a passion for him, a passion for the gospel, a passion for his word. Would you pray for us? God, again, you've heard the prayers of your people. And God, selfishly, I ask that you would be quick to answer them. God, continue to open doors for us that we might be bold to proclaim the gospel with clarity. And finally, I just want to ask that you would pray for yourself. You know the situation you're in. You know your work environment right now. Maybe some of you up to this point in time, is work has just been a paycheck. You've been sleeping through divine moments, appointments. Maybe you've just been bitter about the situation you find yourself in. Talk to God about those things. Father God, we are a people who need you. Help us, Lord, in our unique and our different work environments. God, these things that we've prayed, we entrust them to your care. But we're going to be devoted to praying for them and for watching and for being thankful. God, as we go from this place, we know that there is a world who is watching us. God, might they see a reflection of you in our work. Might they see our faith, a light that shines. Might they see our work, our good deeds, and might they stop and pause and give thanks to you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. I want us to sing this with the following picture in mind, that wherever we are in our work environments, Jesus is already there. Jesus is already there. And we will pray this prayer in the context of us following after him into the place that he is already at work, that we might be used with passion for the extension of his kingdom. Let's stand.
Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life. Know and follow hard after you.
Sing it again. Give me one pure.
Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent intercession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor, compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run. Lead me on and I will run. Lead me on and I will run after you.
Well, give us a picture of you already being there. Wherever there is, you're already at work in that place. And you want us to follow after you and be used of you. And would you take these our prayers for our situations and our lives? And would you make us watchful and thankful as we witness before our very eyes your presence at work on account of these prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great weekend.